It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owens Beef Cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 8th of March, the 67th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 298 days left until the end of the year.
Hello, I am Sultan Mahmud, president of Shetu RFI Fan Club for Bangladesh. Happy International Women's Day 2025 to all fans of RFI and all listeners. Thank you.
As you heard, that was Sultan Sarkar, the president of the Shetu RFI Fan Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. It's International Women's Day, and see, men can be feminists too.
In Kigali, she wakes up, she makes a choice. In Hanoi, Natal, Ramallah, in Tangier, she takes a breath, lifts up her voice. In Lahore, La Paz, Kampala, though she's half a world away, something in me wants say
shine.
that's an oldie but goldie. Have you ever heard it? It was written for International Women's Day in 2013 by Beth Blatt, Graham Lyle, and Fahan Hassan, and united 25 acclaimed singers and musicians, women and men, from China to Costa Rica, from Mali to Malaysia, to spread a message of unity and solidarity. Happy International Women's Day, everyone, to my sisters and to our brothers, too. Shine, everyone.
Hello, I am Gulale Ismail from Aware Girls in Pakistan. You are listening to The Sound Kitchen on Radio France International.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us. And our co-chef, Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
Okay, so we know there's no Valentine's Day celebrations at your house. What about, well, I asked you, what are you doing for Valentine's? And you said nothing. No.
I said no.
You did say no?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what about International Women's Day?
It's a very touchy subject, though, because okay. It's cost me so many marriages. Some wives have come home and found women from all over the world in the house, and I'm trying to say, I'm celebrating International Women's Day with someone from Russia, from the Czech Republic, from Germany, from France, from England. Dozens of women at home, and the excuses just didn't go down. International Women's Day is not a happy day for me.
I don't really know what to say to that, Paul. You are so... Well, at my house...
Short answer is no. Nothing. That's the story, and it remains just a story.
Okay. Oh, you Brits. What do they put in your milk?
It's the tea.
It's the tea. Okay. Well, we do it the old Soviet way. Believe it or not. I don't know if it's a big deal in the Russian Federation, but back in the days of the Soviets, it was. In fact, it was Lenin who made it a national holiday. But I have a lot of old Soviet friends, symphony musicians who immigrated to the U.S. Anyway, there was always a big dinner prepared by the men, and they offered every woman a rose. So we're having a dinner party tonight. My husband Xavier is cooking, and he has roses for each of the ladies.
Smoothie.
Yeah, he is smooth.
He's a smoothie.
I like it.
I like that.
So off we go. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On the 8th of February, I asked you a question about our article, French PM Pushes Through Budget, Faces Second No Confidence Vote. That's because French Prime Minister François Bayrou used Article 49.3 to push the budget through. The hated Article 49.3. It's a special executive power that the Parliament does not take kindly to, because the executive branch can use it to bypass their votes. After it went through, a no-confidence motion was immediately brought forward by the hard-left France Unbound party. At that time, it was not thought the no-confidence motion would pass, because the socialists said they would vote against it. My question to you was, why did France's Socialist Party say they would vote against the no-confidence motion brought by the France Unbound Party? Paul, what's the answer?
To quote our article, the Socialist Party said in a press release that it did not want to see France in an extended period of financial limbo and would therefore, in the spirit of responsibility, not back the no-confidence vote. They held to their word. The Socialist Party did not back the no-confidence vote. France has a budget now and the same Prime Minister, François Bayrou. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. Is the favourite child the worst child in terms of behaviour, that is? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are... RFI English Listeners Club member Nasir Muhammad from Katsina State in Nigeria. Nasir is also this week's bonus question winner. This is what he wrote. I will emphatically say no. This is because I am the favorite child and I am among the best. Of course you are, Nasir. Congratulations on your double win. Nasir, you're the rooster in the hen house, as we say here, the sole male amongst females. In honor of International Women's Day, the other winners this week are all women. We have Ripa Bain, the secretary of the RFI Pariwar Bandhu SWL Club in Chhattisgarh, India. Mukta Banu, a member of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. RFI English Listeners Club member Dipita Chakrabarty from New Delhi, India. And last but not least, RFI English listener Mashita Parvinlata, the vice president of the Sonali Badhan Female Listeners Club in Bogora, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners. And thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in, men included. This week's question requires you to listen to Alison Hurd and Sarah Els' Spotlight on France podcast, number 124. Their first story is on AI and the EU-backed Third Path approach, midway between the US's private tech firm-dominated model and China's state-controlled technology. Listen to their AI report and send in the answer to these two questions. The French company Lingora recently released a large language model trained on French and European content. When was the company Lingora founded? And in which year did they begin work on their AI model? Again, listen to the first story on Alison Hurd and Sarah Els' Spotlight on France podcast number 124 and send in the answers to these two questions. When was the company Lingora founded? And in which year did they begin their work on their AI model? You'll find Alison and Sarah's podcast on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It is. Is it wrong to disobey laws?
Okay, I have to jump in here and credit this question to our Erwan. I regularly tease him about the French love of debate. French high schoolers are required to take philosophy, and the thinking and debating that comes with that is certainly a part of the French way of being, talking, looking at life. So Erwan suggested I look at the philosophy questions that have been on the French baccalaureate, the leaving school exam. This is one from 2021. Credit given where credit is due. Great idea, Erwan. That said, baby brother, do you think it's wrong to disobey laws?
So, well, let me get this right. I'm talking about International Women's Day and how I celebrate. And I'm going to come out full revolutionary now, am I? Yeah. I would say that's a difficult one. I think it's right to follow the law. But if you feel it's wrong to highlight the fact that it's wrong and campaign within the limits of the law to make sure it's eradicated, the bad law is taken out. Because if you start disobeying the law, then often it's used against you to stifle all kinds of campaigns. It's a tricky one. Can't think of any ones which have really been bad that I would go out and say no to, but I think that time is coming with the geopolitical situation as it is, and that's not getting too political, but we're going to all have to look at the laws we abide by and then how we disobey them. And I think that's going to be a question for everybody in the next 2 or 3 years. But I would say try and highlight how wrong it is. There you go. That's it. And okay. You?
Well, okay. As an American, I come from a long tradition of civil disobedience.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, I believe in general in following laws that are put there to make a harmonious society,
yeah.
Right? But if a law is wrong, yeah, you disobey it. I mean, a law that called for you to report on your neighbor for their ethnicity or religion or, you know, no. A law that called on you to report someone who said something against the government, no.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Well, especially with the, let's say, the totalitarian states where you could disobey by not obeying, but silently. But then, of course, you're always being watched. I'm thinking of, you know, talking about East Germany and West Germany and the changes which are happening back in Germany now, going back to a time when there was the Berlin Wall, for example, and the whole divided city, and you had to be very careful. I'm thinking also about Northern Ireland, that's the troubles I grew up with in Britain, where sectarian violence was very, very, very swift and straightforward, and you had to be very careful who you spoke to and what you said, but it was all along religious lines there.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very complicated, and how you then act within your conscience as well to disobey something you feel personally to be wrong. We're gonna be seeing a lot of it in the next year or two, I think.
I think,
really do.
Well, actually, I hope so. So,
yeah.
What about you, our beloved listeners? What do you think? Do you think it's wrong to disobey laws? Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 31st of March to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 5th of April to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
This your girl, Bella the Bee. Stay live, stay fly, stay loving. Asheo.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, is the favourite child the worst child in terms of behaviour, that is? Radhakrishna Pillai wrote, in my opinion, every parent treats their child equally and there is no partiality to the children. Kashif Khalil wrote, in my view, no one child is considered to be perfect all the time if he does not repeatedly do bad things. Malik Bahar Hussein Kokar wrote, the favourite child is not the worst child because he or she would therefore not be the favourite child. Helmut Matt, ever philosophical, wrote, I don't think it's good to generalise. However, favouring one child over another is always a problem. The favoured child often doesn't even notice it, but favouritism often arouses the jealousy of the disadvantaged. In many cases, the favoured child appears negative to the disadvantaged and is seen as a rival. Of course, it's a question of character, and sometimes the favourite child actually takes advantage of the favouritism. It's therefore important that parents keep their feelings about their children in balance.
Helmut, I'm the baby of my family and was often called the favorite and spoiled by my three elder siblings. My sister Carol sent me this quote when she heard the question. I wish my siblings would stop calling me spoiled just because I'm the baby in the family. The fact is, my parents kept having children until they found one they liked. That's so not my problem. Needless to say, that made me laugh loud and long. I'm not sure if my other sister and my brother laughed like Carol and I did, though. They're still a little sensitive about it, believe it or not.
I can believe it. I can believe it. Just call yourself wonderful.
Just get it over
just
with.
Just get rid of everything. Favorite? No, I'm just wonderful. Anyway, Dipita Chakrabarty wrote, "The first child may be the worst for various reasons. He has more emotional and behavioral problems. Pampering and overindulgence make the child haughty with brute spirit behavior, often with mentally devastating effects. Soon he becomes destructive and naughty. Of course, these problems can be regulated by family factors and the child's characteristics." M. Gannison said, "I think all parents probably have a favorite child, but they never say or consider any of their children as the worst one. Only society does that. I think you will agree."
I do, Mr. Gannison. Do you, Paul?
Jury's out.
Yeah, okay.
Jury's out. Rafik Kondekar admits he has a favourite child, and he definitely is not the worst child. Here is what Rafik wrote. "My only son is my favourite child. From his earliest days, he has followed a routine. Every morning, he gets up at 5:30 to say his prayers. Then, he reads his daily lesson and goes off to school at 9:30. After school, he plays with his friends, and in the evening, he reads his lessons and then watches a bit of television with us. After supper, he goes to bed at 10 p.m. On the weekly holiday, he visits relatives, and sometimes he'll take care of my flower garden. So I think my only son is my favourite child, and he is definitely not ill-behaved." Jayant Chakrabarty wrote, "I do not subscribe to the view that the first child is the worst in terms of behaviour. In fact, the eldest child tends to be more responsible, dutiful, and well-behaved, often striving to please the parents who expect him to be seen as a role model to his siblings. This leads to more pressure and behavioural issues like anxiety and stress, which sometimes may lead to aggressive behaviour, and the child is labelled as the worst child in terms of behaviour." Father Stephen Wara wrote, "In my experience, growing up in my own family, as well as interacting with many other families, I would say no. He or she, the favourite child, is hardly the worst." We'll end with John Yemi Sande Toure, who reminds us that it is really not a good idea for parents to let their siblings know that there is a favourite. He reminds us of the story of Jacob and Joseph in the Torah. Do you remember it? Here is what John Yemi wrote. "According to the Bible, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children, and it was this which almost ended Joseph's life at the hands of his brothers. Listeners, instead of being killed, his brothers sold him into slavery." Not sure which is worse, frankly. John Yemi continues, "I agree with the late Jamaican reggae musician Joseph Hills, who said, 'Good boys and girls go to heaven. Bad boys and girls go everywhere.'" And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is it wrong to disobey laws? Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
I'm going to be a good boy. Thanks very much.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on Radio France International.
A
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to our sound engineer, Erwan Rome, for his input and his expertise in putting the show together, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, March 15th, for the answer to the question about Namibia's president-elect. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose music especially for International Women's Day. Music performed by the American flautist Bobby Humphrey, Nubian Lady. Born in Texas in 1950, Humphrey moved to New York in 1971 on the advice of Dizzy Gillespie, who heard her play at a talent show. She quickly made a name for herself. The same year, she became the first female instrumentalist signed by the larger-than-life jazz label Blue Note. Her career continued to climb. In 1976, she was named Best Female Instrumentalist by Billboard magazine. Nubian Lady, the song Erwan chose for us today, is from her 1972 album called Dig This. I'm sure you'll like it. It's very smooth. So here it is, Nubian Lady by Kenny Barron, performed by flautist Bobby Humphrey with her orchestra. Thanks for the musical journey, Erwan. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week.
Thank you.